couple of months ago, Joan Giese, who's one of our members, told me a story that had happened to her while she was at work. She just retired last month or so, I think, from Head Start. And anyway, she was at work planning the last graduation with her class. And while she was speaking with some parents who are at work for these final programs for these preschoolers that were going to be graduating, they were trying to think about where they might have the ceremonies and the celebrations. And someone in the group said, well, you know, there's that church over on Main Street that has the dinners on Monday nights. And those folks are always so nice. I wonder whether we could maybe have the graduation there. And Joan, who was just taken aback and astonished, said, well, that's my church, and I will certainly ask. And so there were a couple of nights back in May, and if you had come into the social hall, you would have seen parents and preschoolers celebrating their hearts out. It was wonderful. The social hall filled with Head Start activity. And while there are some who would say this is all a coincidence, that someone in the room just happened to remember that First English is indeed the church in town that hosts every single Monday night a meal for the community free, and that Joan just happened to be a member of our congregation who is in the room when someone remembered that, I believe that with God at work in the world, there are no such things as coincidences. It's just the Holy Spirit working to connect people to one another, working to serve human needs, working to open churches up as places of hospitality. And in that moment, I believe something really important about what happens here every single Monday night was revealed. Yes. Every Monday night, every Monday, there are people who come and set tables and cook food and wash trays and set out silverware. Work that we do because Jesus commanded his people to feed those who are hungry. But community dinner here is so much more than that. It's about creating a space that's filled with dignity and compassion and community and kindness. And when people experience that, when they experience that dignity and compassion and kindness, they connect to it. Because just as much as food, it's something that we all need. And sometimes those are things that are in short supply for some folks, which make them all the more attractive and memorable when they're found. I wonder if that's what was going on for the crowds that gather in the two little vignettes that Mark tells in the sixth chapter of his gospel. The two little stories that we hear are actually bookends of one chapter, kind of little summary stories of things that Jesus and his disciples do, the sort of exciting miracles, Jesus walking on water, Jesus feeding 5,000 happens in between. But these are summary stories that just kind of encapsulate some things that have been going on among the disciples. In the first little vignette, the apostles have returned to Jesus after they have been out at work. He has sent them out into villages to preach about the kingdom of God, to heal those who are sick, and to cast out demons. And now they are coming back, and the scripture says they tell Jesus everything that they've said and done. Wherever they have gone, I imagine, they've created among them spaces of healing and compassion and hope. And so when they come back to Jesus, and when he says, let's go on a vacation of sorts to a deserted place by ourselves, they can't even get away. Why? Not because, first of all, the crowds recognize Jesus. Rather, the text says, the crowds recognized them. Them. The apostles. The people who have gathered around Jesus and walked with him and then who were willing to be sent out to do and continue his work. The crowd sees their faces and thinks, We know those people. There's something good happening around those people. And so they chase the boat, as it were, forming a crowd to greet them. And it's then, because the crowd has recognized them, that Jesus is able to teach. There's a thread, you see, that connects his call to us and our daily lives and our work and the ministries and the service to our neighbor that we're able to do. There's a thread that connects his call to us, to the crowd, and then the crowd back to him. Jesus sees them and knows that they need a shepherd, and he begins to teach them. And then in the following bookend story, at the end of the chapter, verses 53 and following, what happens to the crowd? The crowd that has first recognized them? Well, as the disciples and Jesus move on, the crowd then recognizes him. It's an interesting progression. The crowd recognizes the disciples, and then they recognize Jesus. People do see and respond to ministry, brothers and sisters, and it's good to reflect on that and to remember that. It doesn't always happen in ways that are spectacular or glamorous or that are going to catch the eye of the evening news. The work of God in the world often isn't what the world deems newsworthy. But that doesn't make it any less real. And yes, there are times when the connection between his call and our lives feels fragile. There are times when, no, we aren't as compassionate as we could be, or as kind as we could be, or as diligent as we could be in our serving. But God has never required perfect people to do his work. The apostles certainly weren't. Rather, God uses forgiven people, imperfect people, you and me, folks who are gathered around his word and renewed by it. Joan said she had goosebumps when she was in that room, in that meeting, and someone said, "What about First English?" Here's another goosebump moment I had just this last vacation Bible school. This last round, the planner, Sharon, and others had worked very hard on advertising and promoting our VBS around town and in our community. We did flyers, we had banners, we worked on Facebook and boosted some ads a little bit. All of this was in service of a line in our strategic plan for the ministry and mission of our congregation that said, use improved communication to reach the surrounding neighborhood. It sounds like a very, very dry sort of box to check when you see it in typewritten pages, but I'm here to say it worked. 30 folks, 30 kids came, many of whom are from our neighborhood and had never been through our doors before. Anyway, on Tuesday, a couple of little boys at pickup time, while their parents were talking in our office space, a couple of little boys wandered back to my office just to see what was there. And as they were chatting, they were just looking around at things, and all of a sudden they saw a wooden cross that I keep on my desk. "You've got the letter T," they started shouting. "That's the letter of my name. A T, a T, a T, a T." They were thrilled, and all of a sudden I was like, "They think the cross is a letter T. Somebody should tell them the story." "Have you ever heard of Easter?" I said. Which they hadn't. And I will admit, I do not carry in my head a child-friendly story of Good Friday, so what happened next was all kinds of awkward. "You mean they killed somebody on this cross and now you've got it on your desk?" So I stammered a little bit and I bumbled, and then they shook their heads at me and said, "That's a weird story." Which in many ways, it really is. And the scriptures freely admit it. The word about the cross being a scandal and a stumbling block. Listen, I said, after realizing that this wasn't going well, or at least I didn't think it was going well. Are you having fun this week? Oh, yes, they said. There were games, there were crafts, there were stories, there was food. What was your favorite food? I asked. Oh, the goldfish. We liked the goldfish. And somehow, in talking about goldfish, we got back onto solid ground. Look, I said finally, we're having all this fun this week because Jesus loves us. And this cross, this T, is a reminder of that. Okay, they said, and headed out the door again. But as I thought about it later, it's true. It is love that compels an army of people from this congregation to tell stories and play games and sing songs and set out the snacks. Okay, they said. Okay. And maybe they'll remember. When they left, I thought, wow, how blessed we are as a congregation to be able to share that story, to be able to share God's love, because there really are folks who have not heard and who do not yet recognize Jesus or his sign. But they do recognize his disciples. They recognize their gifts of love. They recognize their gifts of fun and a safe place and goldfish crackers. And thanks be to God for all of that. And thanks be to God for all of the things that we get to do in our daily lives when we are sent forth from this place shaped by his grace. For along the way, in ways we can hardly imagine sometimes, Christ is made known, and Christ does gather himself a people, and Christ does plant compassion and mercy and kindness in the world, in places where the stories of God can be told and lived. Amen.